BBC Sounds.
Well, before that, Kevin Legendre will be along in an hour from now to present concert highlights from the jazz fusion guitarist Lionel Loueke, and the pianist Nikki Iles shares her musical inspirations. That's all in this week's J to Z at 5 o'clock. First, at 4, it's time for Music Planet with Lopa Kotari.
Yes, hello, and we're going to begin today with some Edo funk from Analog Africa, vintage 1982. This is The Good Samaritans. Good Samaritans there, yet another rediscovery from Analog Africa and the second on their Edo Funk journey, which is album number 20 of the Analog Africa Dance series. The Good Samaritans was in fact Nigeria's brother angel philosopher Akundaye's own Edo Funk project. In the label's own words, this album is obscure. It's primal, pared-down funk, and the reissue has philosopher Akundaye's personal approval. It was, in fact, the first of four albums recorded by Akundaye as the Good Samaritans back in 1982. Well, next up, the debut album from Danouk, a group of music graduates who fled Syria and turned to busking on the streets of Istanbul to make a living. With the help of a social enterprise, they formed a group in 2015 and started working on film and radio scores. This is the second release for Istanbul New York label Omni Sound. The album has been produced by Michael League of Snarky Puppy, who totally immersed himself into the old Kurdish folk songs and helped bring them a whole new sound.
Thank you.
Ahir Zemona from Istanbul-based Danuk. Just one of the tracks from their debut album, Murik, due out on Omnisound next month. I'm Lopa Katari, and coming up on Music Planet today, we've got a road trip for you that explores the choro music of Brazil. And our classic artist this week is none other than Jamaica's legendary roots reggae band, the Abyssinians. Looking ahead to live gigs in April, La Linnea, the annual Festival of Latin Music in London, kicks off on the 22nd. And among the artists appearing is the award-winning Uruguayan singer-songwriter Jorge Drexler. Here's the opening track from his album Tinta y Tiempo, meaning ink and time, featuring Panamanian musician Ruben Blades. This is El Plan Maestro.
Era del mesoproterozoico, cuando aquella célula visionaria, en un acto inaudito tirando a heroico, tuvo una idea revolucionaria. Cansada ya de dividirse sola, vio con buenos ojos a otra célula vecina. Decidió mezclarse, aprendió a reírse y nació aquella historia del huevo y de la gallina. Sin saberlo había inventado el amor y el sexo.
El amor y el sexo.
Y el amor es el plan, el amor es el plan, el amor es el plan maestro. La vida ya siempre con sus estratagemas, con tantas gemas tan imprevistas, creó una lista de pelos y de poemas, de dientes y de sistemas para la conquista. El mundo se llenó de colorido, de llamados y gemidos se llenó el viento, desde el día aquel en que la naturaleza inventó el amor, su mejor invento. Con cada beso se reinventa aquel primer suceso.
El primer suceso se reinventa en cada beso.
Y el amor es el plan, el amor es el plan, el amor es el plan maestro.
Los dos en una, buscar en otro cobijo, crear la palabra hijo, barajando la fortuna, aullar de amor a la luna, con un trino una canción, descubrirse el corazón, soltar el viento semilla, y de una pasión sencilla, ¡hey!, ver nacer vida y misión.
A lo nuestro. El amor es el plan, el amor es el plan, el amor es el plan maestro. Es que el amor es el plan, el amor es el plan, el amor es el plan maestro. El amor es el plan, el amor es el plan, el amor es el plan maestro. El amor es el plan. El amor es el plan, el amor es el plan maestro.
Corría la era del mesoproterozoico.
Uruguay's cosmic poet Jorge Drexler there, who's going to be performing at the Barbican Centre as part of London's La Linnea Festival. The festival runs from the 22nd of April to the 4th of May. Lots of incredible artists on the lineup, from Peruvian legend Susana Baca to British Columbian big band Mestizo. Full details of the festival online. Now, I wanted to return to an album that I played a few weeks ago called Manouche Music Volume 1. It's from a new independent label called Uren Production, based in France. And for the album, label owner Eren Uren, himself an accomplished musician, brought together almost 20 musicians from across the world. The result is a truly global album. This track is Opar, featuring Bangladeshi singer Malbika Brahma, and it's based on a devotional poem about the quest for enlightenment by the mystical poet Lalon Fakir.
আমার ভজন সাধ Thank you.
A beautiful reimagining of a Lalon Fakir poem by Baal singer Malabika Brahma, and a track there from the album Manush Music Volume 1, out now on Yuren Production. And if you want to indulge in some more music from Bengal, last month on Music Planet, we took you on a road trip to Bengal that you can still listen to and download on BBC Sounds. Now, Les Abranis was a pioneering band from Algeria back in the 70s and 80s. They created a unique blend of Berber folk music with Western rock, funk and disco influences that they called Kabyle Rock. Here's a song that they released in 1983 called Id Edwaz, which has been re-released on a compilation album by Swiss label Bongo Joe called Amazigh Freedom Rock 1973 to 1983.
Shwali wa rafani, urjali mihi firin.
North African fusion from Algeria's Les Abranis, who were part of the growing Kabyle diaspora who'd made France their home in the 60s and 70s and were keen to explore their Kabyle roots in a modern world. Now, our guest on the programme next week is Kerris Havana, player of the Welsh triple harp and another artist seeking to connect sounds from the past with the present day. Here's a taste of what to expect, and it's from her latest album, Edif, meaning thread. This is Epibeth Koch. Epibeth Koch and the sound of the Welsh triple harp player Kerris Havana, who will be Catherine Tickell's guest on the programme next week. But now for the latest Music Planet road trip, taking us to Brazil and the popular genre of choro, from its invention in the 19th century to its latest incarnations in the 21st. And our guide is Brazilian guitarist Fabrício Matos.
A long time ago, a wise old musician in Brazil asked me, "Do you know the only thing we need to make music in Brazil?" In my innocence, I replied, a guitar, a tamborim, a pandeiro. And he said, no, you fool. All we need is a table. After many years, I came to fully understand what a table represents for us. It's a place to gather around, to improvise some percussion, to place our drinks and our scores, of course, to flirt. But it's also where our musical communion happens, with the samba, the choro, and their infamous rodas, or rounds, that can run non-stop throughout the night. The choro is a genuinely Brazilian musical genre, originating mainly in Rio de Janeiro in the late 19th century. Although nowadays it literally means cry, the origins of its name are still uncertain. What is known is that the establishment of the Portuguese court in Brazil in 1808 caused many social and cultural transformations in the country, and it also represented the mass arrival of a series of typically European music instruments and the popularization of genres such as the polka and the waltz. From then on, European and other musical roots, particularly African and indigenous, started to mix in urban genres that preceded the choro, such as the maxixe. With the passing of the decades, the chorões, as we call the choro performers, started to take the streets, the botecos, the houses and the radios all over the country, with regional groups helping to create a new kind of Brazilian chamber music. From the origins of choro, I want to play you first a piece called O Corta Jaca, by one of the most important figures in Brazilian culture of all times, Chiquinha Gonzaga, who died almost 90 years ago. This is a maxixe, and it was recorded as part of a project called Marés. Corta Jaca, by Chiquinha Gonzaga, recorded for the project Marés, Journeys into Brazilian Music, and performed by Carla Huar on the piano, Cléa Tomassé on the flute, Fabrício Matos on the guitar, and Seu Gaio on the pandeiro. In the previous piece, we could hear that the piano was part of the group, which doesn't happen so often nowadays in traditional choro ensembles. However, this was a way to show the importance of this instrument in the development of the choro. The next piece is already much closer to what came to be the traditional choro ensemble, with a solo instrument, in this case a clarinet, accompanied by a guitar, a cavaquinho and a pandeiro, the Brazilian tambourine. The pandeiro gained a whole universe of possibilities in the hands of João da Baiana, who is playing in the next recording together with clarinetist Luiz Americano and his choro group. What's also interesting about the next recording is that it happened as part of a project called Native Brazilian Music, sponsored by the US government, and which counted with the partnership between the famous British conductor Leopold Stokowski and the legendary Brazilian composer Heitor Villa-Lobos. Part of the recordings of the Native Brazilian Music project was released in 1942 in two very rare albums, and this project was so important that it would deserve a whole program just for itself. However, what you need to know for now is that this recording was done in 1940, in the middle of the night, in an improvised studio aboard a ship docked off Rio de Janeiro's coast. That was Tocando Pra Você, or Playing For You, by Luiz Americano, performed by the composer on the clarinet, his choro group, and João da Baiana on the Brazilian tambourine, the pandeiro. Some people say that the golden age of choro was during the times of the regionais, local groups spread around the whole country that would often perform with singers, instrumentalists, and in specific venues and radio stations. Nowadays, although the practice of shoto playing is still very strong, there are fewer of these regular ensembles than there used to be. Probably the most celebrated of these is the Conjunto Época de Ouro, here performing with singer Wander Batista one of the greatest classics of the shoto tradition, Carinhoso by Pixinguinha and João de Barro. That was Conjunto Época de Ouro with singer Wander Batista performing Carinhoso by Pixinguinha and João de Barro. Another characteristic of shoto music is the virtuosity achieved and even sometimes required to perform some of the classics of the genre, of which the next piece is a prime example. Here is Brasileirinho by Valdir Azevedo, performed by the composer himself and his shoto group. I've always thought that what proves the strength of a musical genre isn't by how untouched it can remain over the time, but by how it can keep its integrity even when allowing other styles and cultures into its melodies, harmonies, and rhythms. When I was in Brazil for Christmas last year, for example, I was watching a shoto group in my hometown, Curitiba, when they started playing this. Recognize that? That was the shoto group that performs every Sunday at Largo da Ordem in my beautiful hometown, Curitiba, playing a very famous Christmas song. The next shoto is also related to my hometown and shows how the shoto genre has entered the repertoire of the classical guitar in a country that's already famous for its fantastic guitar tradition. This is called Shoto das Araucárias by my former guitar teacher, Luiz Cláudio Ferreira. The Araucaria mentioned the title is a typical tree from the south of South America, and Luis used it as a symbol of our friendship and our connection to our homeland. The shoto was composed for a project of mine called WGC, Worldwide Guitar Connections, and yours truly is the performer. Choro das Araucárias by Luiz Cláudio Ferreira in a recording I made back in 2010. Many decades ago, the classical guitar had already been used by Brazilian composer Heitor Villa-Lobos to open his famous series of choros, which also involved chamber ensembles and large orchestra, and which explored the possibilities of the genre in the classical sphere. In this way, Villa-Lobos helped taking traditional Brazilian music to France, the United States, and many other countries. Today, choro clubs and ensembles have spread all over the world and are a direct result of the work of Villa-Lobos and many other musicians who, through regular tours and countless recordings, helped open foreign ears to our traditional music. A great example of this is Choro de Rua, founded in Italy by Marco Ruviaro and Italian flautist Barbara Piperno. Choro de Rua means literally street choro, and they can be seen performing in the streets of many Italian cities, as well as in more formal concert settings all over Europe. That was Santo Bálsamo by Marco Ruviaro, performed by Choro de Rua. In London, where some years ago the first choro club in the UK was founded by Seu Gaio, the choro scene is stronger than ever, counting with Brazilian as well as local musicians. A good example is the group Alvorada, which mixes traditional Brazilian choros with their own compositions, such as the next piece we'll listen to, the edgy Dead Sea Samba. That was Dead Sea Samba, composed and performed by the group Alvorada. As we could hear in the previous track, choro has been reaching new realms of musical expression, and its style has been evolving organically in many countries, particularly through the work of young performers. In Brazil, as expected from a country that reinvents itself every day, this style has been through all kinds of experimentations, with strong influence not only from the choro tradition, but also from other genres such as jazz, contemporary classical, and even electronic music. The next track, Novo Caminho, or New Way, is performed by Código Ternário, a trio formed of saxophone, mandolin, and pandeiro, and it's a good example of how the concept of choro can be stretched without losing its identity and fascination. You've been listening to me, Fabrício Matos, in a Music Planet road trip to Brazil and one of its main musical genres, the choro. Thank you for listening e até logo!
A modern choro, Novo Caminho, or New Way, from the trio Código Ternário, ending this week's Music Planet road trip to Brazil and its choro music. Our guide was guitarist Fabrício Matos, and you can find that road trip as a downloadable podcast on BBC Sounds. Now, the US and Mexico have come together in the form of LA's Marisol Hernandez, known as La Marisol, and San Antonio-based big band Los Tex-Maniacs to create one big powerhouse of a sound for the album Corazones and Canciones, Hearts and Songs, on which they share their love of music. There's 15 tracks of Mexican-American classics, and this is the opening song of the album, Gritenme Piedras.
1, 2, 3, 4. jaula. Preso y hundido en tu amor. Y aunque la jaula sea de oro, y aunque la jaula sea de oro, no deja de ser prisión. Háblenme montes y valles, grítenme piedras del campo. Llorando, morir como estoy muriendo.
El corazón.
A song there from La Marisol and Los Tex-Maniacs. The album is Corazones and Canciones, and it was released yesterday on Smithsonian Folkways. And talking of heart and soul, the inventor of the Indian slide guitar, Debashish Bhattacharya, has just brought out The Sound of the Soul, an album in which he pays tribute to another of India's pioneers, Ali Akbar Khan, who would have turned 100 last year. Here's the title track, with Bhattacharya playing the instrument he designed himself, a six-stringed hollow-neck lap steel with the addition of three sets of strings.
Thank you.
the title track of Debashish Bhattacharya's album The Sound of the Soul, out on Abstract Logics, an album in tribute to Sarod maestro Ali Akbar Khan. And what a wonderful sound Bhattacharya gets with his self-designed chaturangi instrument. And talking of self-made instruments, you should check out last week's Music Planet with my guests El Cut, available now on BBC Sounds. And I see El Cut is one of four artists nominated in the Africa and Middle East category of this year's Songlines Music Awards, which you can read more about in the May edition of Songlines magazine, which is out now. I'm going to leave you today with a track from this week's classic artist, the Abyssinians. They were the trio from Jamaica, Bernard Collins and brothers Donald and Linford Manning, who promoted their Rastafari beliefs through music. Wonderful harmonies and irresistible grooves. This was roots reggae at its chill-out best. They formed in 1968 and over the decades went through various lineup changes, eventually, I think, disbanding in 1999. This track is from their second album, Arise, recorded in 1978, and it's called Jah Loves. Till next time, goodbye.
the Abyssinians, ending this week's Music Planet, which was presented by Lompa Kotari. This is BBC Radio 3 this Saturday afternoon. It's 5 o'clock now and time for J to Z.
Welcome, I'm Kevin Legendre, and on the show today, concert highlights from Lionel Loueke, a highly creative guitarist who Herbie Hancock describes as a musical painter. But first, brand new music from Artemis. This is a track called Lights Away From Home.